Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I cannot emphasize enough to you, we're buffering over here on the second monitor. Fix that. Get the speed right. I cannot emphasize enough to you that in times like these especially, but throughout all time, as Christians, if you are a believer in Christ, if you want to maintain constant joy and peace, and have a balanced and peace of mind and heart and joy in your spirit, you need to pray without ceasing. You also need to confess your sins when you commit them. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to keep your heart and mind on the Lord and on His Word. Turn your Bibles tonight as everybody is standing out of respect for the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. As I preach in your hearing today, or rather tonight, rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Part 7, Praying Through the Bible, message number 342. By the grace of God, that means 342 Wednesday night meetings, or Wednesday meetings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. I have made that very clear to you from the Word of God, that that is a commandment, that is not a suggestion. It's not up to your feelings, or to your emotions, or to your thinking. Pray without ceasing, that is a commandment, that is not a suggestion. Pray without ceasing, and we're going to focus more on that one tonight. You say, I'm having troubles, I'm having problems. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth them out of them all. How does God do that? One of the ways is the saints are taught to pray. The righteous are taught to pray. I tell people all of the time, just pray your way out. Pray your way out. Pray through it. Sometimes when you're leading people and you're leading a family or you're leading a group of people in a workplace, you may not have done anything wrong, but somebody in that group or in that family or in that church did something wrong. Not only somebody, somebody's. And you have affliction because of them that you have to face, even though you didn't do anything wrong. Pray your way through. Pray your way through. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. That's another commandment. That's not a suggestion. It's not up to your feelings and your emotions and what you think. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you're in the Lord's army, there are some things you just do. You make up your mind to do them, and you do them. Millions of people get up at 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock at the latest, to get on the road by 5, to be at work by 6. They don't feel like doing it. They don't contemplate it and think about it. They do it. You know why they do it? Because they owe, so as off to work they go. If they want to live in that house, if they want to drive that car, if they want to go to the Bahamas for vacation, they better go to work, and they better therefore get up at 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock, to get there on time And many people commute for an entire hour. That's a job in itself. That's 2 hours job right there. They don't do it because they feel like it. Some just went to bed at 1, and still they have to get up at 3:30 to make it on time. And they don't think about it. It's not up to their feelings. It's not up to their emotions. They just do it. There are some things, Christians, which so many of us are so soft that we can act like we can't take nothing. But many of us, we get up at 3:30 in the morning and 4 o'clock to get to work. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was praying with my sons today in the car, and I prayed to the Lord because I was extraordinarily thankful for a few things that took place today that we needed to do. And they may have been thankful, but they were not extraordinarily thankful. And I prayed to the Lord, help my sons to be more thankful and to be more grateful for every blessing. And I pray that for you tonight. Join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we thank you for these commandments in the New Testament. And we praise you and we thank you for this knowledge, this godly knowledge, this understanding, this insight. Lord, it is strange how we are so interested in knowledge that does not mean anything, that does not amount to anything. But we don't take seriously and appreciate your godly knowledge, which is oftentimes simple and intuitive and straight to the point. It's not hard at all. And we foolishly think it's just too simple to pray to God and to see you answer those prayers. Holy Father God, we pray and we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts. By your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, help us not to sin again. Help us to repent, Lord, of our sins, our evil ways. And Lord, you know all about it. And we know all about it. We know about our own sins and faults and failures. And so Lord, help us to repent and to turn from our evil ways. Help us to seek your face. Help us to get back to you, Lord, our first love. Crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew. Empty us of everything of the world and of the flesh and of the devil. And Lord, save those who are lost among us. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears. Fill us all with the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God in heaven, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the devil hates prayer. So rebuke and bind our enemy, our adversary, the devil, and all of his demons and all of his hosts, Lord, from this place and from your people and from their minds. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, and foolishness and pride out of the hearts and minds of those who would try to hinder us. Lord, those demons try to hide behind those hard and faces, and sometimes beautiful faces, but the devil is there seeking to hinder your work. They're not happy about any good work, and they don't want to see any good work succeed. So, Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry, 300 Christians to be revived, in your holy name glorified, Satan always horrified at the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as so many of you know, we are in a rather long but beautiful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. Praying Through the Bible. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to challenge you, dear Christian saint, to pray. And this series is important, and I have been told that it has helped a lot of people, because after the initial honeymoon, after you first meet Christ as Savior, after a while, by and by, you're going to have to make a decision to pray. You're going to have to choose to pray. And the devil hates more than anything outside of the gospel being preached is prayer. And he may hate those things the same, because they go hand in hand. And so after a while, by and by, as a Christian soldier, you got to make up your mind to pray. You're going to have to choose to pray. And we thank God for all of the wonderful spiritual people who say they don't struggle with prayer. They just love to pray. And that's wonderful and good. And I hope that's the case. And that's, I'm sure, I hope that's how it should be. But prayer is a battleground, my dear friends. It's warfare. And we don't like to fight. We don't like warfare. And so I want to encourage you in this series to pray. I want to exhort you to pray. I want to motivate you, if you will, to pray to the God of the Bible. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of this series is to do that. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 341 messages in this series. And this is message 342. That's 342 Wednesday nights, or Wednesdays. And this message is titled, Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 7. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our late night messages, and so we don't plan on keeping you long. But if it will encourage you to pray, to kneel down beside your bed, or get with your wife or your husband and hold hands, no matter how mad you are, and I am a living witness that the family that prays together stays together. And they don't stray together. There's power in prayer to God Almighty. Not just in praying, but praying to God now. I encourage people, and I've never heard of a book or a series like this, but I'm sure Rick Warren will write one. I encourage people to do purpose-driven praying. Have a purpose when you pray, and mean what you say, and don't pray anything you don't believe that God will hear and answer. But be that as it may, my beloved, Dean Goulburn said, that's a very interesting name, by the way, He said prayer is the act of spiritual breathing. And I want you to get this. Don't get distracted by the name. I want you to get this now and take this home with you. Once I tell you this powerful quote, we could pretty much go home. But he said prayer is the act of spiritual breathing. True prayer can no more be limited to certain hours than breathing can. Can somebody say amen with me right there? Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Take this home with you, wherever you are, in Afghanistan, in Saudi Arabia, China, and yes, we have many people who listen to us in all of these places, Russia. He said, prayer is the act of spiritual breathing. True prayer can no more be limited to certain hours than breathing can. And so, beloved, in this mini-series, we have talked about the importance of rejoicing evermore and praying without ceasing. Are you doing that yet? I cannot imagine your praying without ceasing and not rejoicing evermore and being filled with a grateful heart towards God. I don't see how that will work. If you have Jesus Christ in you and you're doing those things, you're praying without ceasing, you're going to rejoice forevermore and you're going to give thanks. It's just going to be in you. This is not stuff you make up. As Christians, we are called to do both, although many of us will admit to being inconsistent in doing so. And why is that? May God deliver us from this modern Christianity that I call the nodding of the head Christianity. Nodding of the head. We gather around and we bemoan we have failed at, and we try to get everybody to agree we all have failed, and we nod the head. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm still struggling with smoking. Yes, I know. I know. I had a struggle with that, and every now and then, you know, I want to hit one, and we just nod the head. But the question becomes, why is it? Why is it that we always got to get into the nod the head group? And just everybody got to say how pitiful and how terrible they are and not doing simple things that God has commanded us to do, such as praying without ceasing, and reading the Bible, and having family devotions. At a certain point, dear folks, we need to break the little nodding of the head groups. Nodding of the head. Yeah, But I tell you, we are something. We are something else in this society, in this country in which we live. We love to play the victim. We love to do the pity party, and we just love it. Instead of breaking out of the huddle or the puddle and start doing what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says love your wife. Just love your wife. Choose to love your wife. The Bible says submit to your husband. Just do it. Stop being a rebellious, stubborn person. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That is a commandment. Just do it. Just do it. You see, I don't get a feeling. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. That's what faith is about. No feelings. Where did you get that from? Well, grandmama and them, they always talked about how they felt something run down their spine. Well, you know, that's what grandmama and them, they didn't know what you know. It's about faith. It's walking by faith and not by sight, meaning no feeling, no emotions, not what you think. It can't be about all of that. It's got to be about faith in God alone. I feel kind of weird. Just pray anyway. Pray through it. Pray your way out of it. Seems like nothing is happening. Pray anyway. Seems like my child is getting worse. Pray anyway. It seems like my marriage is falling apart. I started praying and it got worse. It didn't get better. Pray anyhow. It's about faith in God. I prayed for my husband to get well, and we had to take him to hospice. In fact, we had to call the ambulance to pick him up. He couldn't move. Pray anyhow. You just keep on praying. That's what God told you to do. Let him handle the rest of it. You just pray. I'm here to tell you, I've been praying for 40 years by the grace of God, and I oftentimes don't see anything and I don't feel anything. I just keep on praying. So I just want to feel something. You just keep on praying. Feelings come and go. Walk by faith and not by sight. I don't feel comfortable. See, you're too wrapped up in yourself. You're selfish. You just want to feel good yourself. You want everybody to do what they're supposed to do so that you can feel good yourself. You're not concerned about others as you should be. Because if you were, you would pray for them and stop worrying and fretting. If you're not careful, it's going to be all about you and your feelings and your emotions. Now, we're not talking about the feeble-minded folk in the church. We got to be patient with them and work with them. I'm talking about normal people who love to join the nod the head group. It's about 18 of y'all. Just nod your head. Somebody says something, how much hell they catch. Yes. I'm catching hell, you know, because I met this man. And he was like a prince in shining armor on a white horse. And now he's a hobo on a black horse. And it's just not working out for me. And I did some things I should not have done with him. And it just eating me up. Everybody started nodding. I'm in a shacking up situation myself. No, God wants you to see. Listen to me very carefully, dear saints. You might be in a group, a small group as we call them, that you need to get out of. And you might need to go to on the victory side group, okay? Across the hall at the church. They shouting the victory over there. They don't allow pity party and nodding of the head. You need to get on the winning side. They probably have it on their door, the winning side group. They got about 21 people in there, and they're shouting the victory. Catching hell, but shouting the victory. And they're praying for each other and obeying God together. So obeying the command to pray without ceasing starts with getting our hearts right with the Lord and understanding the importance of being in communion with Him at all times. If we are to reach our full potential as believers, as Christians, the life of Christ within us is as essential as blood to our bodies. And that life is maintained by communion with God. Put all that down here. It's right here. And I cannot emphasize that enough. All of that is maintained by communion with God. Not only does praying without ceasing mean that we ought to set aside special times to pray to God, but it also means, my beloved, that we ought to be praying in between those times, praying without ceasing. We ought to be in a regular state of the practice of prayer. Now, let me tell you a couple of reasons why we're not. Your flesh cannot stand prayer. Your flesh hates prayer. And then there's the matter of inertia. If you don't overcome that in the morning and by praying with your family and you lay a foundation of prayer, More than likely, you're not going to pray without ceasing throughout the day because you don't even have a foundation for prayer for that day. One pastor talked about how that you're not on praying ground. I forget his name, but he just said you're not on praying ground. And another reason why you're not on praying ground is because of sin in your heart and in your life. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's high time that folks in the church not join the nodding head group, but get down to the altar and confess their sins, either at the family altar. That's the best altar, the family altar. Because sometimes folk in the church go down to the altar to show off. But the best altar is when you start humbling yourself down and you pray at the family altar and you confess your sins, or the closet altar. That's the best of all. Amen, somebody. Doing business with God in the closet altar and telling him the truth on yourself and agreeing with him about yourself and about your sins and your evil ways and your wickedness. When you think about it, if prayer is simply talking to God, prayer is in many ways the easiest thing you can do as a believer. We don't think twice about talking to family, especially family we like to talk to. Some family members, we do think twice about saying anything to them. Friends and co-workers, we don't think twice about talking on the phone with our Ace Boone Coon, our best bud. Even turning on the speakerphone while driving or doing other things. Some of us don't even think twice about talking to Siri. And some of y'all have a better, in fact, it's sad to say some of you, the only person you talk to is to Siri or to Alexa or Google Assistant. I have, when my wife does not want to talk with me, I just turn over and talk to Alexa. Alexa, good morning. Alexa, she doesn't have any ups and downs and emotions. She just, good morning. Let me tell you a story. I said, go ahead, Alexa. And believe it or not, my wife is jealous of Alexa. I said, she's not real. You ought not be talking to her. She's jealous of Alexa. But some of us talk to these machines, these robots. That's what they are. God help us more than we talk to God. And Alexa does not know everything. Alexa does not know God as you should, nor does Siri. The point is that for most of us, beloved, we don't think about our verbal communication with the people we know and that we enjoy talking to. Our speech is an outgrowth of what is already in our hearts and minds. And so it takes God to pray right. And God puts that desire and that heart and motivation in you to pray. It's a God thing. It's a beautiful thing. And he gives all the glory. But you do have to choose to pray. And he has fixed it that way because he loves it that way. He loves the fact that you are using the gift of free moral agency to choose to communicate with him. He loves it. That he doesn't have to make you do it. May God help you, sir, ma'am. You have to make your robotic husband or your robotic wife say, I love you. You got to tell them to say, I love you. They repeat back like a robot, I love you. And then they blow and they roll their eyes. Yeah, I love you like they're about to die, saying I love you. Well, see, God wants us to do all of that on our own, by our own choosing, willingly. But God is in the midst. He helps us with that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He will not make us do it, but He prompts us. He leads us. He will remind us while you're driving down the road and you're looking at a beautiful Texas closing of the day sky. And you're just marveling. He'll remind you that He made it. Pray to me. I have a favorite road in Texas. My children know that road. It's a winding road. I love it. I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want to see you on it. I just love it. I love it. And I love driving that road. I look forward to it. And while I'm driving that winding road, I pray to God and I thank God for all of the blessings He's bestowed upon me with my family in the car and when they're not in the car. Why shouldn't prayer be just as simple as communicating with a beloved family member? Why shouldn't prayer be just as matter-of-fact, automatic, if you will? Why shouldn't prayer flow out of our spiritual lives just as the rest of our conversation flows out of our interactions with other people? That is necessary if we are to pray without ceasing. Edward Garbett said, prayer is not a rite, and I want you to get this, R-I-T-E. Prayer is not a rite like some of us believe, particularly in our Catholic churches and in our almost Catholic churches. This is some kind of exercise. It's not a ceremony. It's not a special thing that you do at special times, even though we ought to pray at set times. It's not a cold outward observance, but an actual intercourse between two parties. Actual communication between two parties. One who prays and one who hears and answers. And if you get your heart right with God, while you are praying, God will give you the answer to all of your problems. Some of you ought to have a list in your mind. You ought not have to write it down. It's about four or five things. We all got about four or five things that we ought to be praying about every day until they're solved. You don't have to write it down. It is, he said, a communion between man and God. That's what prayer is at all times, not just on Sunday morning, as some believe, or Wednesday night. This communication is as real and actual as what passes between two men, two women, a husband and a wife, when they speak face to face with each other. It is just as real. And I hope that you have gotten to that level in your prayer life. And it is far more important. See, prayer will hold together the important things in life, the things that matter most. Things that when you lose them and you mess them up, they disturb your peace and disturb your joy. And they disturb your life. If the inward desire is absent, then prayer is absent. And though a man, he said, shall have breathed all his life the words of prayer, he will never have prayed if he has never asked. We cannot ask unless we desire, and we cannot desire unless we feel our want and our need. Thus, therefore, the word expresses much more than this. See how great is the dignity of prayer. For when the soul prays, it is as if the distance between itself and the throne of God. Watch this, watch this. This is deep. We're annihilated. End of quote. I love it. I love it. I love it real good. That's powerful stuff. And it's so true. And so, my beloved, we must fix it in our minds that prayer is a conversation. And yes, indeed, it is a conversation. And it should never be the kind of conversation that we have with our best bud, our Ace Boone Coon, you know, where we, all thank God, we all got somebody who that we know what they're thinking, they know what we're thinking, and we're in a hurry to back up what they are saying, and they're in a hurry to back up what you're saying, and you can finish each other's thoughts while you're eating Chinese food at the Chinese restaurant, and you just having a time. And we lovingly, watch this, we lovingly interrupt each other. Yeah. How about this right here, though? Isn't that right? Yeah. That, it should never be that. It should never be like that conversation. Because while you are praying to God, and God interrupts your prayer with an answer or with a solution, you need to say right then and there, thank you, God. And if you're getting old like me, you might want to write it down. Because God will listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. And then maybe I can let you go. Get this, and then I can say bye-bye. Prayer will reveal to you what the devil is doing in the hearts and minds and lives of even your family members, your friends, your church members, and give you a solution, a 1, 2, 3, 3.4 solution. Bam, 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 bam. Now go do that. Say amen. Give me some more praise and say amen. And then go do that and everything will work out. Remember now, Daniel was a praying man, and Daniel made it clear that it was not in me that I have the ability to tell the king not only the interpretation of the dream, but I can tell you what you dreamed. Daniel ran back and said, there's a God in heaven who will download. Can somebody in China say amen? Can somebody in the Philippines say amen? Can somebody in Kenya say amen? God will download. Listen to me. You just keep on praying. That's what I told you. I don't feel anything. Some of you, dear folks, I pray for him. And he's more like the devil now than ever before. Just keep praying. That's your job. We walk by faith and not by sight. Prayer is the most powerful thing on earth outside of the gospel, dear friend. And they go hand in hand. And so in closing, we must fix it in our little minds that prayer is a conversation and that there is a real listening ear on the other side, because you're dealing with the one and only God who loves you more than anything, and not just a listening ear, but a helping hand of action that reaches into our world, into our lives, and answers on our behalf. Now you're looking at someone by the grace of God who has been praying to God for 40 years after God introduced him to this verse. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So I'm telling you to your face that God has answered literally thousands upon thousands of my prayers over the past 40 years. That's no lie. That's the truth. And I'm a living witness that God will hear and answer your prayers. And I didn't always see things, and I didn't always feel good about things or whatever. I didn't always have emotional highs. but God will always come through for you. All I can tell you is to have faith in God, what Jesus told you, and keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And God will bring you and those you're praying for through. J. Hart wrote, "Prayer is appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray. They learn to pray when first they live. If pain afflict or wrongs oppress, if cares distract or fears dismay, if guilt deject, if sin distress, in every case, still watch, and pray. 'Tis prayer supports the soul that's weak. Though thought be broken, language lame, pray if thou canst or canst not speak, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. Depend on him, thou canst not fail. Make all thy wants and wishes known. Fear not, his merits must prevail. Ask, but in faith, it shall be done." Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, all I can say is thank you for another message, your holy word, that moves us along in life to that point of praying without ceasing, in faith believing. Lord, along with your holy gospel, it is the most powerful thing on earth, along with your holy word. And I thank you for it, and I thank you for answering thousands upon thousands of prayers, big prayers, medium-sized prayers, and little baby prayers. I give you the glory, praise, and honor, Lord, for the thousands of times that when things should have been difficult, you paved the way for us and you opened up doors. And Lord, I cannot thank you enough. My God, I cannot thank you enough for the thousands of times you've shown extraordinary, or caused us to find extraordinary favor, even in the sight of sinful, wicked people who didn't even know us. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers down through the years. And Lord, have this message and even this prayer be an encouragement to somebody who's going through it. If they're born again, if they're saved, they are going through tribulation. They're going through troubles. They're going through marital problems. They're going through problems with their children. No matter how many Christians lie and try to make it seem that the Christian life is always a bed of roses, it is not. Never has been. It is not now. And the truth is coming out. So Lord, help people to turn back to you. Lord, help people to turn their eyes upon Jesus and to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer should be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is a real place. I emphasize this because most preachers today don't emphasize this, but Jesus did. In fact, he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. And sad to say, most preachers today. So he does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to trust in him and believe on him. You may not get a feeling. It may seem dry. And faith is like that sometimes. Just have faith in Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Jesus Christ said it best when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Trust Christ as your Savior tonight. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul tonight, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Join me in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. And I understand that I deserve hell. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now, the best way that I know how, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in him. I receive him. For I know that he is, I believe that he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight and help me to repent of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. And so, dear friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, dear friend, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. That's what the Word of God says. Again, you cannot go by your feelings. You cannot go by your emotions or what you think. You must think according to what God's Word says. And God's Word says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." It is as simple as that. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to Gospel Light Society or Gospel Light House of Prayer, wherever you are, and the email is there, and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.